Howdy ho, Worthmates. Welcome to Revive America, CSBN Radio's Texas affiliate. I'm CJ.
And I'm Randy.
And we're the two faithful beach bums. We're thankful to be here with you today, traveling upon this blessed mothership Earth. And have we got a great show in store for you today. Randy, you know, I'm so thankful for the door that our Father has opened to us.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. The CSBN Radio Texas affiliate has allowed us to bring those earth angels that we have on this earth, fulfilling the Lord's desires and bringing forth those messages that allow the rest of us to become prepared.
Yeah, definitely. What do you say before we go too far in this that we call upon the Father?
I'll be glad to. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for everything that is and everything that will be. And our Heavenly Father, we truly do thank you for bringing your daughter and your son, Stan and Holly, to us so that we may be able to allow them to bless us and to bless those that are out there listening. And Father, we ask you to bless those that are listening in ways that only you can bless them so that they too can be prepared. In the name of your Son, Yeshua Messiah, do we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, our guests today are Holly and Stan Deo. They are well-known authors, thinkers, and believers. You know, we first heard about Holly when Francis, our watchword anchor person who happens to be on the show with us today also, when she presented a copy of Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. You remember that day? We were up at the church and she comes in toting this book and lays it out to you. We've been talking about these late days and about the visions and dreams everyone was receiving. And all of a sudden, here Francis brings to the table this big, thick book that clearly had years of labor.
Well,
you
CJ,
know,
I was just totally taken away. The last 4 years for us, we've been doing everything to prepare. And then when this book showed you all the things, how to, where to, what to, I was just like blown away. And I thought, man, there's somebody out there that thinks the same way we're thinking. This is exciting.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, you know, truly we can't take not a drop of credit for it because we both know how this whole thing started for us. It started with a vision back in January of 2006 when the Lord came upon me, proved directly to me that truly He did give His Son for us. That had always been my stumbling block. I wondered if that was a convention of man and religion or if in fact it was pure truth. And I don't believe there's an earth person who could have convinced me, but the Father Himself who drew me to the Son. And I will be ever grateful. And in that vision of the storms coming up on these United States. And with all of that, when this book came out, when it was presented to us, just like you said, we were so blessed and so grateful to know that there were others out there that had been at it for years. Apparently, you know, well ahead of us, which gives me that much more confidence in our Father who leads, for it gives you a great comfort to know it's not just me and you, it's the many brothers
Amen.
And sisters.
Amen. Go ahead and move forward, CJ.
Let's do
Let's
it.
Introduce
Let's do it.
Our guest.
I'm with you on that. Francis, you're out there.
Yeah.
F.L. Brewer, thank you. Well, then together as a trio, let's welcome to today's show Holly and Stan Deo, our honored guest.
Hi, guys. Thank you, guys. Good to be here. Long way from Texas, I guess, Colorado is, but we're still there in spirit.
Well, that's right. We hear that you actually spent some time in this great state.
Well, seeing as I was born down in Clifton, about 11 miles from Valley Mills, about 20 miles from Waco. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I spent a bit of time there.
Definitely. Well, you were basically our neighbor then, because we're not that far down the road from where you live. So, Holly, what about you? Where did it start for you?
Well, Stan will say that I'm an Army brat, born on a Tokyo Army base. And we lived moving progressively westward from New York to Kansas City to Colorado, a short little dip down there to Australia and back to Colorado.
Wow. So you definitely have seen the world scene through, like you say, the eyes of an Army brat. So How does that influence the journey that you're on right now?
I guess as a hardcore American patriot and loving our country, after living outside of our borders here, such as they are, it only reinforces the appreciation of this God-blessed country.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to honor that blessing.
Yes.
Get back into the Word, quit taking God and Jesus out of everything.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm so thankful to hear you say that. I'm so thankful to understand that you came from that root. For myself, took God speaking, saying, I gave you this land of milk and honey, that opened my eyes to the beauty, to the blessing. And, you know, we do take this. This is not the America that we grew up in. This is not the America that I know. And I don't hang that just on the change of presidency, but on the change of us as the citizens as well. You know, the choices that we make.
CJ, you know, I probably saw this in greater contrast than people just living here, because I spent 30 years in Australia, and when I came back, I mean, I left as an adult, you know, so I'd experienced America as an adult and worked here. But when I came back to the country, it was like going to another planet or to a foreign country. I mean, I could not believe the incredible changes that had been made and that were taking place in the American psyche when I came back. It was a real shock. So, yeah, that's how it's affected me. I just really, really bad.
Well, I can honestly say that what we were as a country and as a society 20 years ago is nothing compared to what it is now, and it seems to be getting further and further superficial rather than spiritual. We're starting to become more of a shirt sleeve type of a society and a plastic society, and we don't have that homegrown depth. And that's one of the things that the Lord had brought us from the big city into the wilderness and stripped us down so that we can understand what the differences has been and the changes. And so what we've been doing is trying to go out and get people to understand that what is going on here is not right, and that they need to strip down and get away from all the garbage so that they can listen to the Lord telling them to prepare to get ready for what's coming around the horn. And so you guys have just really done a great job of bringing everything together in a book. And we saw on your website you have several other books. Can you give us a description of what you got and some of the things that people would be interested in?
Randy, I'll let Holly do that, but just before I do, Holly wrote her book, you know, over, well, many, many years of research and then many, many months and a couple years of writing. And you were asking earlier about how her military family life may have influenced her. I can tell you that she has reveille at about 4:30 in the morning. For her. Of course, I'm still asleep, but every morning she is organized like that. So, yeah, I think the military had a little bit of an effect, don't you, Holly?
That's possible. My dad was a self-disciplined person, and, you know, you aspire to the good parts of the values that your parents instill in you, and that was one of my dad's. You know, one thing I want to interject in this, it's not just our government that has failed Americans.
Exactly.
Temple Hay wrote one of the best exposés that I have ever read about how our preachers, how the ministry has failed Christians.
Yes.
And that it went back to World War II, where the Marxists and the socialists and the atheists infiltrated, heaven forbid, but our seminaries. And they slowly spread the poison of taking God out of things, of making Christ and many paths to God all-encompassing, and basically diluted and watered down and made into church times where you should be guided into a social gospel. And it's taken the meat and the heart right out of our Lord.
Very well spoken.
Holly, you want to explain also about the Garden Gold and certain places work with your book?
Okay, sorry, I guess I got distracted there a bit.
Wait, she said somebody wrote a book, and I couldn't catch the name.
Tim LaHaye.
Tim LaHaye. Okay, gotcha. Thank you very much. Believe us, Paul, are we in the last days? Okay, thank you. I'll look for it.
All right, Holly, about the books.
Growing up in the West, we had blizzards, hail, tornadoes, floods, power outages, almost every natural disaster that you can envision. And my mother used to squirrel away peanut butter and chocolate, water, canned tuna, blankets. And my dad used to just tease her unmercifully about these silly things until we had a power outage, and those things really saved our bacon. And as a kid in the late 50s there, you know, I grew to appreciate having things on hand. It doesn't save you spiritually, but if you haven't been saved through Jesus at that point, it allows you the time to grow physically and understand these things so that you can accept the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you're dead, you run out of time.
Exactly.
So it gives you a cushion factor. And I don't think the Lord expects us just to sit on our behinds and have government fix every ill. They are less able, through manpower and finances, to come to the aid of Americans. Everything is being spent overseas or foolishly. So it is up to us, the citizen, to take care of ourselves, our family, and our neighbors.
Exactly. It's just like Scripture calls us to work. If we're to eat, we're to work, but that's not what we seem to be doing. And also, we look back scripturally to Joseph in Egypt, and we see, you know, I just want to say to our brothers and sisters out there that are listening, some of you have already had your eyes open. You're keeping a watch on the world and the changes in our nation and beyond. You're you know, following. You may have dreams and visions all your own, and for some of you, this may seem, you know, far-fetched and unthinkable because you've never seen such an event. But it's all been foretold, and even if you aren't quite ready to buy into that, the reality is each one of us as humans have a shelf life. You know, we will expire in our time. And so during our days on this planet, the reason we work is to prepare for tomorrow. And we've seen too much now, from 9/11 to Hurricane Katrina to the devaluing of the US dollar, to who would ever think that China would own our debt, that we would be basically property of China. I mean, it's things that are unthinkable. But even in that, just like you said, Holly, I'm so thankful that you brought up Jesus, because that is the Lord our God's ultimate preparation, that regardless if we fall victim to horrific times through the abomination desolation, or if we are so blessed otherwise to die a peaceful, tranquil end of our days, end of our years, passing, one way or another, we will leave this earth. One way or another, we will leave this physical life, and to be received into the heavenlies. Holly, would you and Stan please share with us your testimony of faith? Because the ultimate safe house is in the hands of the Lord.
Well, I guess I'll start. I was raised in a Baptist Jewish mixed home. My dad was Jewish, and he didn't practice much, but Friday night we had what we used to call stinky food night. It was from the local delicatessen. We lived in Dallas after I moved up to Clifton, but he didn't influence my faith as much as my mom and her mom did. They were both Southern Baptists, and eventually, Dad and Mom became Presbyterians, and, you know, I went to church. I did my catechism, all that kind of stuff, and kind of, you know, as I was supposed to. And I wouldn't say that I was born again at all at that point, just doing the routine. And it went that way. I became an adult, moved out, and eventually some work I was contracted to do by the a government project down in Australia took me out of the country, and we had a serious disagreement because they had me working on technology that was still classified today, I suppose, but I wanted to share a lot of it with some of the poorer nations who needed energy and food and fuel stuff to survive, and we had ways to give them cheaper energy and transport and things. And in the process of arguing about this with my controllers down there, I understood that they hated the Jewish people, which didn't go down well. I didn't know how they had researched me and not found out about Dad, but still, I knew that my days were numbered, and suddenly they were. And we parted in a real big hurry, and they left me stranded there in Australia. Now, I ran because they were threatening to put me at the bottom of a mine shaft permanently, and I just disappeared one day from Melbourne, where I was staying at the time, and grew a beard and traveled with hippies in the desert and ran for my life. And it was while I was out in the middle of the what's called the Nullarbor Desert in southern Western Australia, sitting by a campfire one night, that I was reading a bit out of the Bible because of little old white-haired lady had given it to me and pointed to a particular verse. In the last town we were in, she ran into me at a UFO meeting I just happened to drop in to listen to, and gave a bit of a lecture to them about things and technology. And so she, I guess, felt the Spirit of the Lord moved her, and she gave me this Bible and said, look, I marked a page and put a little mark around a verse I think you ought to read. And I didn't do it until I was out in the desert, you know, a couple nights later and sitting by the headlight of the car. And the passage was in Revelation 13. It was about, you know, the beast, the numbering, and the false prophet and all that. But the thing that caught my attention was about the numbering of people, so they couldn't buy or sell all over the planet. And you might think, well, why would that make you turn to the Lord? Well, I had helped back in Dallas when I was in the computer business, some of my clients in corporations. One of them was in a meeting, and they were telling me about how they were planning to set up a national and then an international digital money system, which would mean that everyone could have a personal ID number on them, and that way that credit cards and check accounts and cash couldn't be stolen without being tracked, you know. And we had discussed in that meeting, okay, if you're going to give people a mark or some kind of an electronic ID on their body. This is back in 1970, get it now. So wow. Anyway, we were talking about clever ways to have ID marking. And people at the store with the car keys, most people are right-handed. They have the keys in the right hand, the groceries in the left. Okay, well, right hand, so you can just hit under a scanner and be done, be quick. People that don't have hands, well, they wouldn't be alive if they didn't have a head. And so we'll put a mark somewhere on the head, possibly so the cosmic wouldn't bother up on the temple or forehead, and we couldn't put it on the chin or those areas because some people have beards, or Arab women wear burqas, and you know, we went through all this routine and deciding where to put this ID patch under the skin. And then when I read it there in the Bible, in that chapter that the lady had marked that verse in, I was astounded. You know, I said, well, gee, I was kind of sitting in and helping discuss that.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And I realized that I was probably going to die fairly shortly because I'd been staying one step ahead of the guys chasing me. I had already been caught by my one guy who let me go. It was a CIA operative down there. And I'd already heard through one of my friends back in Melbourne that I would contact my phone occasionally at a payphone somewhere, that even the FBI was looking for me, and Russian intelligence. So I thought, well, gee, you know, Lord, it's just you and me out here and in the desert, and I'm probably going to be seeing you pretty soon. I just want you to know that I'm on your side. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead, and you know, let me be on your side. And that was it. Now, we traveled on over to Perth after that. It took us a few days to get there. And we just reached the border of that state. Now, I'll finish up my testimony and let Holly do hers next. But we were at a very small town on the edge of the desert there at the West Australian border, where Perth is. And I think it was Sunday morning, as I recall. And we got in there very early, and they have little shops in towns all over Australia, that is at that time anyway, which were like mom-and-pop shops, like a small 7-Eleven.
Right.
Little bread shops and milk and, you know, things like that. Anyway, we were just absolutely as hungry as could be, and we had like, you know, 43 cents in change between us. That's why we were heading to Perth, to try to get some money by selling some things. And the food and stuff we had was like seeds and beans, and we were just hungry right then. So I went in to see what I could get for 43 cents. And the shop was empty. It was open, but all the stuff was there, and there was a fresh loaf of bread and a nice big piece of cheese open out there right by the cash register sitting there. And I could smell the bread and the cheese. Boy, was I hungry. I thought, hello, I said. Nobody answered. I thought, gee, you know, I could just grab that and run out and nobody would ever know. I thought, no, I won't do that. And so I waited, and pretty soon the lady came out of the kitchen from way back in the back of the house somewhere that's attached to it. And she said, oh, can I help you? I said, yeah, look, I said, that cheese and that bread looked real good. I said, how much of that can I get for 43 cents? And she stopped for a moment and looked at me and said, well, look, how about taking it all and you keep your money?
Oh,
wow. Said,
why
is that? Wow. I said, why is that? And she said, well, because you might think this is strange, but the Lord told me to give it to you.
Praise
and
God.
That was, there you go. Yeah, I mean, the hair on the back of my neck stood straight out. I'm thinking, man, he was listening.
Oh, man, you got to love that. That's
yeah,
a powerful testimony. Wow.
Yeah, now, Holly, I'll let you pick up. I'm getting long-winded here.
Thank you, well, Stan.
Mine's very short. When I went down to Australia and saw the good heart in Stan and saw how he didn't judge people and was the absolute kindest person I'd ever met next to my mom, there had to be something that was propelling that. And as he filled me in on what he saw about America from the outside, and I had been very well cushioned from the inside, it was a huge and unpleasant awakening. And I knew I had to get my life in order in a big, fat hurry.
Yes.
And I remember we were sitting there at the dining room table, and I lost it. I started bawling uncontrollably and said, I don't want to be bad. And he said, you're not. But I knew something was not right, and I said, well, I want what you've got. And I credit him for my salvation.
Well, lead me to the Lord who saved us all.
Okay, everybody knows what I'm saying.
That's a beautiful love story.
That's the short thing of it.
And just like what you're saying, we come to the Lord through different measures. It could be this near-death experience where you're starving and praying to survive those who seek to terminate your existence, or it could be being a blessing to someone who looks at our lives from the outside. So, you know, for the brothers and sisters out there that may not have yet come to the Lord, the advice that was given me about a year and a half before the first vision I had was a friend who I called the Jesus Lady. She said, all you need to do is ask God to show you truth, and he will.
Holly and Stan, where seems to be the most interest among religious believers or atheists or a combination of the two in getting prepared for disasters?
Are you asking who is more likely to prepare?
Yes.
I think what he's saying is who is receiving your work more, in other words, of the vast population. Are they just survivalists? Are they Christians? Are they Buddhists? Who seems to be drawn to your work more, do you know?
CJ and Randy, Francis, from what we have seen in correspondence and people asking for help and people saying, gee, thanks, you know, you've opened our eyes, it's everybody.
Right.
There are universities, prep survival groups, using as their textbook.
You mean like anti-terrorism?
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. He's my fill-in-the-blank guy here.
We all need one.
And it's Christian groups, it's LDS people, it's just your basic, you know, person out there on the street that's finally had their eyes open.
Yes.
We are concerned about our crops you know, there are four or five countries that are the biggest grain producers for the entire world, and they export to everyone else and keep them alive. And if those countries are being hard hit by natural disasters and their crops are being demolished, they can't save us, let alone anyone else. And the us would be Australia, Brazil, Canada, and Russia. These countries we've all been hit by natural disasters. Every single day that news goes up, there is a new batch of stories about this disaster, whether it's hail or flood or drought, has hammered crops. You combine that with the barrel of dollar barrel of gas going up, I think it's $92 as of this morning. And a Chevron executive said, look, you think $5 a gallon gas is high? Just wait. It's coming. Now, you might think, okay, well, I don't have to drive anywhere. But gas or petrol, it is in everything. Petroleum is in everything, almost, that we use, whether it's clothing or your tires, plastics, or secondary things that make your crops grow. If that goes up to that high, there will be coming a time when even truckers can't haul the things across the nation. And in rough statistics, truckers are responsible for getting 70% of all American products across this nation. If they come to a halt, it's going to get really ugly.
What was the figure for, like, major cities, if you had a trucking strike or if truckers just stopped, how many days could the city last for food?
Well, it used to be 3 days. Now it's less than that. When we were all growing up, grocery stores had a back room where they kept, you know, extra produce, extra canned goods, extra meats in freezers. Now they don't do that anymore, and they're depending on the just-in-time inventory. I'm sure almost everyone is familiar with that phrase now, but just-in-time used to mean 72 hours. When there is a hurricane coming, a blizzard like just hit the Northeast, or the floods, people flock to the stores and they pluck everything off the shelves that day. There is no 72-hour prep.
I know. There's just so many things. I was just looking at the news you put up this morning, Holly, and looking at the blizzard and how, like, what, 7,000 or 7,200 flights have been canceled, and just that alone is adding an impact to people needing to be prepared because, you know, like if you're in a blizzard or, you know, you can't get out of town or you're out of town, you can't get back home, what are you going to do? Do you have enough cash? You know, do you have a warm place to stay? I mean, there are just so many reasons for people to prepare, and that's why we have such a wide variety of people who buy our book and write in. They also have heavily depended on the Garden Gold electronic book that she put up after researching for many years, and both of us working together out in the garden there making these experimental 4x4 foot gardens, and she's combined that into a very nice color illustrated book for people to do home gardening. So we attracted a market there, and not all of them are Christian, but certainly very nice folks that we talked to because they were close to the dirt, you know, and getting closer as Holly taught them how.
And, exactly.
People all
well, here the Lord came about 4 years ago and said, you need to start working on a garden, and it's been a learning curve.
There is a learning curve, isn't there, Holly?
There is. When it comes to prep, if you guys haven't done anything, start with small steps. When you go to the grocery store, start buying an extra can of canned meat, an extra box of instant milk, little bits of things.
You know, that's one of the things that that surprised me in reading your book, how some of these things can sit on the shelf for up to 2 years. And, in fact, some of that stuff could last for longer than that.
Right. And we have noticed one thing that is really disturbing. There are so many companies out that are selling freeze-dried or dehydrated foods. And we're seeing people absolutely rush to them, buy a year or two's worth of food, stick it in their garage, heaven forbid, or their attic, or a shed, an outbuilding, and they're thinking they're all good. But heat destroys food. It destroys all of the nutritional value. You might as well go out there and peel off a chunk of wood from a dead tree and munch that for all the good it's going to do your body. And as things deteriorate, you're going to need your immune system build up higher, not have it, you know, deteriorated. The other thing about this is that freeze-dried and dehydrated foods all require water. If the internet goes down, it's only a matter of days until you have no water. Every single thing we have is enabled by computers. Everybody and everything has gone over to computer-driven automation, whether it's your gas at the gas station, whether it is chlorination for your water treatment plant. Do you want to drink water with E. coli in it or Giardia? No, you don't. And that's why you really need to have canned goods as well, because everything that's in your can, if you have a can opener, you can just open it up and eat, you know, what's in the can.
I might add here, Holly, you were telling not to store it outside in the heat. What would be the ideal temperature to store your dehydrated or freeze-dried foods in?
A maximum of 70 degrees. For every 10 degrees that you lower the temperature, you're adding on many years of storage. MREs, for instance, they're basically given about, meals ready to eat. That's what the military eats. That's what a lot of, quote, survival companies offer up. And generally, their shelf life is about 3 years. And those things are good to have for, say, a few days only. Because, one, they don't taste the best, and, two, they've got a whole lot of salt in them. And if people have high blood pressure issues, you really do not want to eat those long term.
Hey, we're telling about Sizemore, our dog. He wouldn't even eat
them. Our dogs eat anything that's not nailed down. And we wanted to look at one of these MREs that we had ordered in. It happened to be a spaghetti dish. We opened it up and looked in there, and, okay, I'm thinking, all right, kind of like sort of spaghetti. And we were getting ready to eat our own lunch, so I put it down for Seismo. And he looked at that, looked up at us, looked back at the bowl and said, I don't think so.
It sounds like our dog.
You know, you really don't want to do that. That's survival food, and emphasis survival food. There is a reason they call it that.
I'm so thankful that you're talking about this, because one of my questions was what your top 3 to 7 wisdoms would be to share with our listening audience. The issue of water, I was looking on your website today and looking here local, where Houston has shut down 2 radioactive water wells, and it fits in perfectly with every time even here in our own area, we were instructed recently to boil our water before drinking it, and that went on for quite a while, and I keep hearing more and more conditions of that, carcinogens and all in the water. God gave me a word back in January of 2006, actually gave me a formula, T equals W, and I understood it to be time equals water. So, you know, our Father in Heaven is always forewarning and preparing us. Now with Houston shutting down literally 2 wells, water wells that are radioactive, what do the two of you see as, even if there weren't a major disaster, so to say, as these things are creeping in to our water systems, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, everyone should have, if you're going to store water, which I hope you will do that, that's more important than even food. You need at least 1 gallon of water per adult per day. That starts translating into a lot of poundage and a lot of physical space.
Yes.
Even if you store outside, which is not the best, it's better than none, because you can always disinfect and purify the water. But it's better to do that than to have absolutely none. That is just drinking water. That counts nothing for bathing, not brushing your teeth, not for washing clothes or dishes or anything else. That's just to drink.
Wow.
If you have a large dog, they need at least 1 gallon of water a day. A medium dog, a half a gallon. A cat, about 2 cups. You know, you don't want to forget your faithful four-legged companion.
Who just might help you survive, right?
Right.
Absolutely. You know, if nothing else, they imbue your spirit with hope,
yes.
With laughter. And,
yes.
You know, they depend on you. And when you get your mind off of your own woes and realize whether it's a child or a four-legged or a feathered friend or whatever, you know, other people and God's creatures depend on you. And you can quit focusing on your own problems and think about how to take care of them. Water, you really need to have your water stored. There is an issue with where do I put it? Well, look around and see where you've got things that you can clear out. Look under your bed. Look in the top of your closet. Is that just dead air? Do you have a crawl space? Do you have an area behind bookcases you can put things or behind sofas? You can always, always find room if you just get creative.
Yeah, using those 2-liter pop bottles or soda bottles too.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be anything fancy. If you have chlorinated tap water, clean out your 2-liter soda bottle, squished around with a little Clorox, and fill it with tap water, and then put in 4 drops of non-scented, non-soapy Clorox. And, yes, I've heard all the things about saying, well, you know, Clorox is a carcinogen and so forth. Well, you know, I can't say that I've heard of too many people die of that, but they can certainly die of thirst, and they can die of malnutrition.
Well, what about the Berkey filter will get that chlorine?
Yeah, and there are other water filters besides just the Berkey. There's April Air. There are all kinds of different water filters, but that is one of the best investments.
What have you heard about rainwater and the regulation of collecting rainwater?
That used to be a law, actually, in Colorado. And I had not heard of that, even though I had lived in Colorado since 1983. And a few years ago, that got repealed. When we were in Australia, that was our sole, well, one of our 2 methods of water supplying, because we were off Maine. So we had 2 10,000-gallon water tanks. We got rain catchment, and we also had a couple of wells. So we had our own water supply there and, you know, weren't terribly concerned about it. But you can do something as simple as put out a 55-gallon drum underneath your gutter, and when it's going to rain, you want to divert that gutter out of the rain barrel. Just so the gutter gets washed down and you're not putting in twigs and leaves and bird excrement and so forth.
Yes.
Let it, clean out the gutter and then put it right into your 55-gallon tank. And then, of course, you'll want to strain out, material and then purify it. And you've got all the water free courtesy of our Lord.
Yes.
When Holly was talking about our tanks that we use down in Australia, and you were asking Randy about the legislation about collecting water. Just before we left Australia in 2001, in Melbourne or in Victoria, that state there, they were already proposing to put a federal tax on the rainwater that you collected on your farm. They were going to put a meter on your tank and tax you for God's free water. Unbelievable, but true.
Unbelievable.
Something on our horizon we need to guard against and come together as a nation that is God's free water and that you can't do that kind of thing.
Well, even when we were digging our first pond, you know, they call it a dam down there, but it's about 100,000-gallon pond for our livestock and for us. When we wanted to do that, we had to get a permit from the county. They call it the Shire down there, but it's the county. And we had to have a study done very quickly about the runoff, the water that normally flowed over our property to downstream and whatever, to be sure we weren't impacting the runoff for streams, you know, so we couldn't collect the water. And my thought was, okay, we collect the water, fine, but once it's full, it'll continue to run off down wherever it is that you want. But that's the kind of legislation a socialist government just kind of delights in, and we're heading that way.
Yes.
Yes.
There was an article, just a news item just this last week, that the current administration is looking at taxing on a storm runoff. Well, you cannot control what is given to your particular piece of property for rain and torrents, and you're going to end up having to pay for that. So you might as well catch it.
Right.
That way you have a double win.
Yeah.
It's just like the legislation that is at the forefront right now to supposedly to safeguard us. We would not be allowed to do our own gardening because somehow the
government,
yes, somehow the government was going to miraculously protect us from God who created and provided. And the only the stories that we hear that cause so many people illness and disease are things from major, you know, from corporate manufacturers. So it's another, you know, one of those misleading deceptions that it's kind of like a railroad. And I pray to God that, brothers and sisters, that we all open our eyes and our ears and think for ourselves. We have to allow our Father God to yah-size our minds, to think creatively as He has given us the divine ability to be creative, and it's just unthinkable to me, whether you believe or whether you are still uncertain and seeking, that we would ever want a government official to provide every need. That is just like raising our children on welfare, thinking that there will always be a trough to dine from.
Hey, CJ, I know France has had a question or two.
One thing that I would like to do before I ask my questions, which I only have a couple right now, I mean, I have a whole storehouse full of questions, but they're just going to have to wait. I just want to get the primary questions that I have, but I want to say something first. Holly, and I have been listening to Stan first. I heard him on Coast to Coast years ago, and I found his website, and I go to his website, for lack of a better word, religiously. This website Holly puts together, it is the most informative. This website and Steve Quayle's website, in my opinion, are the most informative websites on the net. And I would encourage anybody who is interested in the current events, the events in the future, and the past events, or survival, being able to survive catastrophes, to go to their website, which is www.standeyo.com, or the Q Files, Steve Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, which is the Q Files. And she does an excellent job on a daily basis, with few exceptions, getting all the pertinent news together so we know where we are. And they do this because they are a rare combination of the spiritual, the scientific, and the practical. I mean, this is so rare in the ministry. It is absolutely incredible. And yes. I believe they were doing this long before anyone was giving them any credibility. And they have taken huge amounts of criticism over the years. And it's paying off because more people's eyes are coming awake. So I just want to thank you for being heroes in my eyes personally. But my question is to Stan, because we've been talking about preparation, but I also know that Stan has very fine pedigree, and you can find out all about his, they're very upfront, you can find out all about all both of their pedigrees on the website. And Stan is the cerebral one in the sense that he's the one that's the, you're a geophysicist, is that right, Stan?
Well, yes, I'm not formally trained. I'm you know, self-educated now, but yes.
Also, he is an author, and he deals a lot in prophecy and also UFOs and these things that are inexplicable, like the UFOs and sightings in Stephenville. I don't think it was last January. Was it last January or January before? And he also talks about theoretical physics and also geology. And So he brings this really great scientific aspect to it. But he has worked on a book actually devoting yourself right to 8 verses in Daniel. Is that right?
Well, the book covers a lot of things, but the 8 verses are in Daniel. I translated them painstakingly earlier this year in January, February, March, and I added that to my existing book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, which the Lord first led me to write in 1978, 77, 78. And so I put them as an addendum to that because it fit in with the whole theme of the book about warning people and preparing people spiritually and physically to a degree about what is about to happen. And Holly, of course, then augmented that with the Dare book, which really gets down to the nuts and bolts, whereas, you know, I'm kind of like a theoretical and then certain technical things. But it's amazing the Lord led us together because our interests and work just absolutely complement each other.
Oh, I have never seen anything like this. I mean, you'll find one person in the ministry who is like, they spend their life in one area, maybe the spiritual part of it, but there won't be any practical value or any kind of scientific backup to it. Then you'll find someone else who maybe is into prophet eschatology, and they'll just go that way, or somebody that's just in the science and discounts the spiritual part of it, or you'll find people who are really heavenly minded, though, but no earthly good. And Holly brings that practical business. I mean, it's like you're this great hybrid of ministry that I just, I mean, I've seen a lot of ministries, but I just, I have never encountered one like yours, and I was just so pleased that you and Holly consented to come on the show. I would like to ask you specifically if you think that there will be about the UFOs, and I've heard, so I'm actually kind of stacking the deck in the sense that I have actually heard you speak on it many times, but you are aware of the UFO program in a more intimate way than the average person. And you've really studied it, but you've also from the slant that in the days such as it was in the days of Noah, it will be again at the last. Is that right?
Right. Well, look, those 8 verses I translated from Daniel just kind of was the capstone of the whole thing the Lord's been showing me for many years, and I've been lecturing about, and writing about, and basically it has to do with the great deception the Bible speaks of in the last days. And when we talk about a great deception, we're not just talking about, somebody lying about what's in the Bible or something like that a little bit. This is a deception that is going to be so widespread globally, so huge, that even believers, the nation of Israel, their head would be turned and deceived by it if such were possible. Now,
right.
The if such were possible can probably mean, the Lord is going to open the eyes of all the believers in the house of Israel and the Gentile population, or the ones that could be affected by it won't be here. But somehow or another, and certainly part of education is here with me right now, in that I'm sharing this from the book of Daniel, because Jesus said that Daniel was the prophet to watch, as Daniel the prophet said, quoting Jesus. Because his message was for this day, and it was about something that has been hidden in the book of Daniel for thousands of years, 2,400 years or something like that. And I stumbled upon it simply by trying to answer a lady's question. She emailed me and asked about, what do you think about the UFO situation? You know, is it real? Is it biblical? Whatever. And so I started answering her, and I remembered a little phrase in the book of Daniel, where Daniel's interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the statue, and the toes were made of clay and iron mix and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized where it said, and you shall not mix with the seed of man, that there was more in that book than was in the English. And so having studied Hebrew many years ago and translated some of the Torah before, I set upon doing that again. And I was looking at Daniel 2, verses 41 through 44, and also Daniel 11, 36 through 39. Those are the 8 verses that I translated. And it was a painstaking process, as Holly will tell you, because I walked around with my head in the clouds for weeks and months. And she'd say, oh, yeah. And then,
glad you identified where that was. It wasn't Texas. You knew that.
Dear, but anyway, there you go. There's an example of the compliment. You know, she'll pull me back down to earth and say, all right, yeah. Well, that's very interesting, Stanley, but now we need to eat.
When you get done here, Stan, would you please address about how the Pope has said, look, aliens are our space brothers.
Okay, I will. That's a very important point, yeah. And so in those eight verses of Daniel, and more, but those are the eight key verses, I saw where
would
Daniel
you repeat,
was warning.
Would you please repeat the verse from Daniel 2 again? Which four verses were that?
Daniel 2nd chapter, 2nd chapter of Daniel, and verses 41 through 44.
Gotcha.
And that deals with the iron and clay mixed and things. And then chapter 11, verse 36
and 39.
Now, there was only that one verse about the toes of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream were the last empire of the earth before the Messiah comes to destroy all the former ones and set up the final kingdom. Anyway, there's a very difficult verse that translators have had a heck of a time understanding and translating it the same way twice, and that was about these 10 toes of this statue, that some were clay and some were iron, and that the seed of them did not mix. You know, the iron and the clay did not mix
right.
The seed of man. Now, okay, what kind of a statement is that? Seed of man, the gene pool of man? Okay, so when I started digging into it, I had to dig up historical records to translate certain words that didn't translate a straight Hebrew, and some were Chaldean Aramaic, and some were, there were a couple of, not many, but two or three words that were Sumerian colloquialism from 1,000 years before Daniel's time. And that's why it took just weeks and weeks of research to try to answer every little bit. And when it finished, basically it said this, and I put this in the book, I painstakingly document how I translated every single part of a word and word in those eight verses so that you understand this is not some, you know, a wild guess. This was absolute research to dig out the truth from this, to unseal the book, that part of it. As Jesus told Daniel when he appeared to him over the water, and said, look, Daniel, I'm going to seal this book up until the time of the end, but then it will open up. Well, I'm doing my part, opening up part of it, as others have opened up other parts about timing and you know, the weeks, 69 weeks and the 70th week and that kind of stuff. This part here is, for now, it is the urgent message about the Satan and those who side with him coming to earth. They are like a gene pool that is different than ours. They shouldn't breed with it.
Right.
They did in the times of the book of Genesis there, when the sons of God came to the daughters of man, and you know, Genesis 6, where they mated and had the hybrid Nephilim and giants and that kind of stuff. The gene pool doesn't mix well at all. It produces weird, strange beings, and I sometimes wonder if they even have a soul, but anyway. So, now, these beings are arriving now and are here, and I think a lot of the UFO things that we see, the flying saucers and technology and abduction cases, are part of that whole group. And Daniel warned, he said, look, don't believe this, because this guy's going to come, and he's going to pretend to be a god, and it does say he's feigning or pretending to be a god, little g. And he will underwrite with technology the leader of the world at this time. And with his technology, the leader of the world, the Antichrist, and of course the false prophet with him, they will reconstruct the Roman Empire from which what we are today of the world empires have come. And I'm kind of paraphrasing, condensing several pages of writing, but the main warning that I put at the end of that, analyzing those eight chapters, or eight verses, is from Matthew 24, where the Lord says, if they say to you in this time that the Messiah is here in the desert, go to him there. Don't believe it. If they say to you he's here in this secret place, don't believe it, because when I come, the true Messiah, it will be recognizable by all things all across the planet, like lightning coming from the east to the west, suddenly. Now, we are being conditioned, as Holly was talking about. religiously and also in the popular press and the sci-fi stuff. The Pope is saying, you know, aliens are our brothers and welcome, that kind of stuff. We are being conditioned to accept these beings coming here as our friends as part of the deception. And it will be very difficult if they can come and show you, like, say, a movie or a DVD or however they store video information of the crucifixion itself. They'll claim that this is taken back in Israel at the time of crucifixion because we were back there then, we're here now, and we're your creators and we're your friend, and trust us. Now, when the Pope starts to do this, which is the religious foundation of a great portion of the planet, and when the Pope and the Vatican Council are now actively, even have websites for it, bringing all the religions, including especially Islam, into a one global type religion, you can see then that if this kind of directive and thinking comes from the top down out of the Vatican, how it's going to encourage people to believe a lie, a great deception about, you know, who these beings are. And the fact that the leaks are occurring in New Zealand and England and pretty soon here from the government files saying, okay, well, we're releasing our files, we're opening up, they are really here, the aliens, and we've dealt with them, and you know, they come in peace, love, and harmony, all this kind of stuff. All this is a great plan to get the people of Earth to be subjugated instantly, but to allow themselves to be fooled into a one-world dictatorship. It is, people are going to rush into a global religion and a global government or dictatorship because they'll be short of food, they'll need someone to solve their problem, you know, help me, short of water, there'll be pandemic diseases around that need to be cured, there'll be a shortage of fuel and energy, there'll be a threat of nuclear war. Oh gosh, that's today, isn't it? You know, all these things are scaring people to death.
Yes,
so,
yes, sir.
I get on my soapbox, guys.
No, that's awesome. It reminds me so much of the Book of the Maccabees, which was, for whatever reason, was taken out of the King James Version of it. A rabbi, a messianic rabbi, had told me I needed to get my hands on the books of the Maccabees and read that it was so pertinent to now, and that it had been removed from anything that most of us have been exposed to. So, you know, just like you're talking about people rushing to participate in a government that will give you those things that you are so thirsting and hungering for, was the same as the Roman Empire coming and making it the only, what you would say, flesh, the viable option. Unless you've done something like what you and Holly are presenting here, to be prepared on our own, for true believers to be prepared to work together, to serve one another, to stand tall in that hour we are called up.
CJ?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that reminds me of what you're saying there. I want to add this about one of the things that the Lord led me to put in this Cosmic Conspiracy book in 1978, and it sold, you know, 250,000 copies in 20-some-odd countries since then. And it was on page 200, which was originally the last page of the book before I added stuff. Page 200, I had a map of the Earth, which the Club of Rome, you know, get the Roman connection?
Right.
Club of Rome divided the Earth up at that time into 10 regions, and nations had to fit within that, and they divided them up by socioeconomic, cultural, religious preferences. But there were 10 regions, which I show on the map, from their map in my book. Now, those 10 regions, I always, you know, assumed, and still do, that they were the 10 kings talking about in the Book of the Revelation. Now, Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, we've supported both of those ministries, and I've talked with both of those gentlemen from time to time. And for the longest time, they were still stuck on the fact that the European Union would be the revived Roman Empire. But they had forgotten that, you know, there's more than 10 nations involved in that over there. And lo and behold, in the last year or so, both guys have started to come around and say, you know what? This is a bigger picture. It's 10 regions, 10 kings globally. It's not just in Europe.
Yes.
And I've been so pleased that finally they understood, you know, because I had a help. I wasn't figure this out all by myself. The good Lord helped me. I had an out-of-body experience, nearly died, and after I came back, a lot of things started to fall into place. But I've been glad to share it with these folks and many of their listeners. because it is the message for now. It is just so current that, you know, Holly and I expect to look up any day and see the Lord saying, come on, let's go out of here.
Amen. Amen.
That would be just wonderful.
Yes.
Hey, we said one other thing, too.
Please do.
If you will go to, you can either go to our main website of standeo.com or daretoprepare.com. All of the people that are on the Internet, who should be obviously hearing their radio broadcast, you can download tons and tons of free information. You don't have to buy a single thing. This is our gift to our Christian brothers and sisters, and
Amen.
Those that would not be in the unwashed, for how to survive. It's all up there. Just takes your paper and your ink. And it's been up there available for everyone since 1996.
Remember that food planner thing they can download?
And there is the Daily food planner. It tells you how to, you know, if you want to store for, say, two adults and two kids, just plug in those numbers and it will tell you how much you need. And you plug in how much time you want it to store for. And that is a piece of wonderful software that Stan built himself. And he's giving it away to everybody. And it's very easy to use if you have Office Word or Excel. Make use of these things, folks. Please do.
Thank you. Blessings to you for sharing that.
I have a comment and a question. Stan, I want to really give you applause because you praise Holly. And it is so unusual for an accomplished man like yourself to actually praise his wife for her accomplishments, because that's just really wonderful. And you don't have to broadcast that on the radio. I just wanted to say that personally.
Hey, listen, if I didn't, she'd hit me.
Somebody else, I'll box beside the ground.
You keep your muscles prepared there, Holly. Stay strong, girl.
CJ, we can tell you guys are a good compliment, and it takes two. It takes two to support each other. Where one downfalls, the other one can uplift.
Amen. That was the beauty when Randy came along. I never really think in terms of the flesh world. I seem to spend, like you were saying earlier, a lot of time with my head in the clouds. And so Randy said from the very early on, he believed that God had prepared him to protect me, because I walked through as if I could walk through enemy firing lines and not know the difference. So he felt called. And I think that's exactly what the power of our Father, he binds us.
My question, I actually have two very yes or no questions. One is, Stan and Holly, do you believe that the Giants will return before the second coming?
Well, if it's like the days of Noah before the flood, then yes. And whether they will be the same kind, I don't know, because I'm reasonably certain that the abduction cases and the crossbreeding that's been reported is an attempt to build bodies for the disembodied and fallen ones to use. So I guess I think that they will appear when the Antichrist and Satan appear on the earth, sometime in our population. And in fact, in the book, I say, as Daniel said, that there will be certain nations and peoples given over to the false god, Satan, and his minions, which might mean that the aliens are in those countries.
Yes.
Yes. The other question is, do you believe that when the Antichrist, it says in Revelation chapter 12, that he beheld Lucifer falling from heaven, and it says, woe to the earth, for Satan has come down on you, down to you, and he's full of wrath. Do you remember that, the passage?
And he paces back and forth like a hungry lion, yes.
Okay. My question is, do you believe that this will be the Antichrist when Satan is cast out of heaven?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably join.
You believe it will be at that time? That, because that's before the abomination desolation. It's in Revelation
12. Discussion, that one.
But, okay, well, yeah, we won't discuss it any further.
Stan, Holly, I want to thank y'all so much for spending your morning, your afternoon here with us. you guys are welcome to sit and talk with. We would talk to you all day long. But I know that you might have other things to do, and I in no way want to, you know, hinder your progression to go forward, but to be blessed and to know how blessed and grateful we are for the time that you've spent with us today. And I pray that the greatest blessing upon you and Stan, that the two of you be signed, sealed, and delivered in that Lamb's Book of Life. And I can't see how it could be anything other than, and you know, none of us know the day or the hour, but I do truly look forward to seeing you on that renewed earth when the Lord of Lords, King of Kings reigns, and in all eternity, the new earth and in the new heaven.
An exciting time.
Yes.
Did you both read in the paper on December the 23rd? I don't recall seeing it on the website, but I'll tell you what happened. I picked up a copy of the Dallas Morning News on Saturday, on Sunday after Christmas, and it said that the EPA revoked Texas's right to grant permits to power companies. And Texas has its own grid, and it's had its own grid for maybe over 100 years, and the EPA just revoked our right to manage our own grid. Did you see that?
Yes, I didn't see it. Did you, Holly? No.
No, I'm not familiar with that, Francis. But look, as far as the broad stroke picture goes, the Obama administration is putting people into a smaller and smaller box. Mm-hmm. You have less rights. You have less freedoms. You have more restrictions. And there are greater controls. They
yes.
want to control the internet. They because that is that is the voice box of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait days or weeks for information. It is instantaneous. If that
right.
goes down, your information block goes down.
Right.
And that's why Stan and I want people to have the information available to how to protect yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ask that you buy a thing.
Yes.
It is all there for free. And
right.
get within your own community churches. Forget the big ones.
Yes. Yes.
To a church
yes.
here that was fairly conservative. I'll say that it was a Southern Baptist church. And we wanted to go in and get in deep in the Word. And they were dried up, shriveled, and constrained. They wanted to look at nothing but what they had spewed out for the last 4 decades. Finally, one of the fellows that Bishop, what was his name?
Oh, yeah, Deacon, yep.
He came around because he thought we had money. Sad to say we didn't. But he came around thinking that we were going to ante up for them to build a new building. Found out we didn't, he said, oh, you guys will probably be happier someplace else.
No kidding.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
So, look, you guys, you need to get into the Word yourself.
Yes, yes.
Form your own little community group. Hold your worship services there.
Home church, yeah.
Home
yes.
church. And the Lord will smile upon you and open your mind to his teaching.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So many blessings to you. You're speaking the conviction of my heart, and I truly believe that that's what this property has been for, a gathering place for the true believer or the seekers. And that was the thing the day that the Lord stood before me and said to gather as many to him as humanly possible. There were no borders, boundaries, or lines of division. Each and every one is called to come and stand with Christ. The Father sent him to be our gathering place. We are all called. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves at this time, whether we think ourselves to be atheist or whatever. Whatever we have labeled ourselves, we can still open our mind, receive the Lord, pray that God shows us his pure and perfect truth, draws us to that. For each and every one is welcome until that day when the door seals and the terrible the whole of the horrible begins. So we pray that as many as will come now.
Hey, CJ, I think this is a good place to close. Francis, would you do the honors of closing with a prayer for all of us?
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time, Lord, and this blessing that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are bound through you and through your blood, Lord, into one family. We are a new creation, truly, Lord. We are one man, Lord, a new man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your Son who came for us and died for us and shed his blood for us to give us his Holy Spirit, Lord. And Father God, right now I ask, Lord, that you anoint this time, Lord, and that you cause this message to go out over the website, Lord, in a great and grand manner, Lord, touching people, pricking their minds and their conscience, Lord, expanding the listeners, Lord, because the gospel is preached and then it's heard, Lord. And Father God, this is your process and this is the way you've ordained it. And Father God, we know the spoken words have power, Lord. And we know that this is an angelic kind of ministry, Lord. And Father God, I ask you to prosper Stan and Holly, Lord. Father God, in whatever ways that they go, and Father God, open up new areas for Stan and Holly to reach out, and Lord, let their name, their word go forth, the words that you've given them in the name of Jesus, and bring them closer together, Lord. And I thank you so much for the blessing that they are to the thousands and millions of people. And Father God, that you give them the respect of the broadcasting community, Lord, that you open even up new venues, Lord, with even more people to listen, Lord, because the word must go out before you come. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for their diligence, Lord, for the deep sales, Lord. Father God, you say you're a rewarder of those that diligently continue to do what you have them doing, Father God. I pray for that. I pray for CJ and Randy, Lord. I pray for traveling mercies for everybody, Father God. In the name of Jesus, and that your hand, Lord, be on those who are cold and hungry right now, Lord. Father God, I'm asking you, Lord, for your presence to send angels to people who are stranded, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, to cause your message to go out in these United States and across the world, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray for justice, for those things that have been stolen for us for generations back to be returned, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because one of your names is justice, Lord, and you are just. And Father God, I thank you for this. And we say, Maranatha. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Holly. Thank you so much, Stan.
Thank you.
You know, do you guys have anything that you would like to say to close this show? Because my preference would be that we go out with any final words of wisdom, and to encourage our listeners to check out your websites, standeo.com and daretoprepare.com. You can hear the spirit of our guest today. I pray you bookmark their websites and go there often to keep up with the news and to be encouraged and lifted, to look up high and to believe that together we can do this, for our Father is truly the King of everything. So guys, will you please close the show?
CJ, Randy, Francis, we would ask a special blessing from the Lord for you being brave and being out there with this information when it is not exactly the done thing to do. And keep it safe, and may he prosper your word throughout this country.
Amen.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Stan.
I love you guys.
We love you guys. Yes, we do. Group hug. Okay, everybody. Group hug. All
right. Peace be with you guys.
Peace be with you.
Shalom.